Okay. Hey, everybody. Good to see you. Sure. Enjoyed your program as always, Glenn. Thank you so much. It's just very insightful and fun. And what more could you want from a program, right? Insightful and fun. There you go. I hope to emulate that. And that's what we're here for something genuine. This is where we listen to TED Talks and then discuss what we learned from the talk. The idea is that we want to hear other folks who aren't necessarily on the spiritual path, and glean from them what they have gleaned from life. So, hey, Ann, welcome. Hey. Actually tonight though, it looks like, the TED talk that I have selected, and I selected it based on Shauna's talk this morning in the sanctuary. It's about gratitude, and the fella is wearing it looks like a friar or a brother or a monk. Or, I don't think it says in the title of the talk what his title is. Perhaps he'll remind us of that, or perhaps he'll tell us that in the title. As always, I will encourage you to take bullet point notes. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but if you take down a note when you hear something that you like, something that intrigues you, then that will help you remember it when it comes time to discuss it after the video. I always promise myself I'm going to write down the name somewhere of these talks so I can tell you all when I introduce them, but I don't. I forget every time, every week. Dawn has been playing the videos for us, so perhaps Dawn will enlighten us as to the name of tonight's video.
Want to be happy? Be grateful. David Steinel Rast.
There you go. So exciting. And Shauna, just tell us, Shauna. You don't have to type it, just say it.
That's the name of the monk dude who wrote or started the gratefulness.org that I read from today.
Well, and it contains that the line that I really liked. Can you quote us the line?
Yes, it's happiness doesn't make us grateful. Gratitude makes us happy.
Yes, exactly. So, all right, awesome. So it's perfect that this worked out this way. Never a dull moment. In oneness. So, without further ado, I will turn this over to you, Dawn, to play us the video. Thank you.
There's something you know about me, something very personal. And there's something I know about every one of you that's very central to your concerns. There's something that we know about everyone we meet anywhere in the world, on the street, that is the very mainspring of whatever they do and whatever they put up with. And that is that all of us want to be happy. In this we are all together. How we imagine our happiness, that differs from one another. But it's already a lot that we have all in common, that we want to be happy. Now, my topic is gratefulness. How is the connection between happiness and gratefulness? Many people would say, well, that's very easy. When you are happy, you are grateful. But think again. Is it really the happy people that are grateful? We all know quite a number of people who have everything that it would take to be happy, and they are not happy because they want something else, or they want more of the same. And we all know people who have lots of misfortune. Misfortune that we ourselves would not want to have. And they are deeply happy. They radiate happiness. We are surprised Why? Because they are grateful. So it is not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes us happy. If you think it's happiness that makes you grateful, think again. It's gratefulness that makes you happy. Now, we can ask, what really do we mean by gratefulness? And how does it work? I appeal to your own experience. We all know from experience how it goes. We experience something that's valuable to us. Something's given to us that's valuable to us. And it's really given. These two things have to come together. We have to. It has to be something valuable, and it's a real gift. You haven't bought it, you haven't earned it, you haven't traded it in, you haven't worked for it, it's just given to you. And when these two things come together, something that's really valuable to me, and I realize it's freely given, then gratefulness spontaneously rises in my heart, happiness spontaneously rises in my heart. That's how gratefulness happens. Now, the key to all this is that we cannot only experience this once in a while. We cannot only have grateful experiences. We can be people who live gratefully. Grateful living, that is the thing. And how can we live gratefully? By experiencing, by becoming aware that every moment is a given moment, as we say. It's a gift. You haven't earned it. You haven't brought it about in any way. You have no way of assuring that there will be another moment given to you. And yet, that's the most valuable thing that can ever be given to us. This moment with all the opportunity that it contains. If we didn't have this present moment, we wouldn't have any opportunity to do anything or experience anything. And this moment is a gift. It's a given moment, as we say. Now, we say the gift within this gift is really the opportunity. What you're really grateful for is the opportunity, not the thing that is given to you, because if that thing were somewhere else and you didn't have the opportunity to enjoy it, to do something with it, you wouldn't be grateful for it. Opportunity is the gift within every gift. And we have this saying, opportunity knocks only once. Well, think again. Every moment is a new gift, over and over again. And if you miss the opportunity of this moment, another moment is given to us, and another moment. We can avail ourselves of this opportunity, or we can miss it. And if we avail ourselves of the opportunity, it is the key to happiness. We hold the master key to our happiness in our own hands. Moment by moment, we can be grateful for this gift. Does that mean that we can be grateful for everything? Certainly not. We cannot be grateful for violence, for war, for oppression, for exploitation. On the personal level, we cannot be grateful for the loss of a friend, for unfaithfulness, for bereavement. But I didn't say we can be grateful for everything. I said we can be grateful in every given moment for the opportunity. And even when we are confronted with something that is terribly difficult, we can rise to this occasion and respond to the opportunity that is given to us. It isn't as bad as it might seem. Actually, when you look at it and experience it, you find that most of the time what is given to us is opportunity to enjoy. And we only miss it because we are rushing through life and we are not stopping to see the opportunity. But once in a while, something very difficult is given to us. And when this difficult thing occurs to us, it's a challenge to rise to that opportunity. And we can rise to it by learning something, which is sometimes painful. Learning patience, for instance. We have been told that the road to peace is not a sprint, but is more like a marathon. That takes patience. That's difficult. It may be to stand up for your opinion, to stand up for your conviction. That's an opportunity that is given to us, to learn, to suffer, to stand up. All these opportunities are given to us, but they are opportunities, and those who avail themselves of those opportunities are the ones that we admire. They make something out of life. And those who fail get another opportunity. We always get another opportunity. That's the wonderful richness of life. So, how can we find a method that will harness this? How can each one of us find a method for living gratefully, not just once in a while being grateful, but moment by moment to be grateful? How can we do it? It's a very simple method. It's so simple that it's actually what we were told as children when we learned to cross the street. Stop, look, go. That's all. But how often do we stop? We rush through life. We don't stop. We miss the opportunity because we don't stop. We have to stop, we have to get quiet, and we have to build stop signs into our lives. When I was in Africa some years ago and then came back, I noticed water. In Africa, where I was, I didn't have drinkable water. Every time I turned on the faucet, I was overwhelmed. Every time I clicked on the light, I was so grateful. It made me so happy. But after a while, this wears off. So I put little stickers on the light switch and on the water faucet, and every time I turned on, water. So we leave it up to your own imagination. You can find whatever works best for you, but you need stop signs in your life. And when you stop, then the next thing is to look. You look, you open your eyes, you open your ears, you open your nose, you open all your senses for this wonderful richness that is given to us. If there's no end to it, that is what life is all about, to enjoy what is given to us. But then we can also open our hearts for the opportunities. For the opportunities also to help others, to make others happy, because nothing makes us more happy than when all of us are happy. And when we open our hearts to the opportunities invite us to do something. And that is the third. Stop, look, and then go, and really do something. And what we can do is whatever life offers to you in that present moment, mostly it's the opportunity enjoy. Sometimes it's something more difficult, but whatever it is, if we take this opportunity, go with it. We are creative. Those are the creative people. And that little stop, look, go is such a potent seed that it can revolutionize our world. Because we are at the present moment in the middle of a change of consciousness. And you will be surprised I'm always surprised when I hear how many times this word gratefulness and gratitude comes up. Everywhere you find it, a grateful airline, a restaurant gratefulness, a cafe gratefulness, a wine that is gratefulness. Yes, I've even come across a toilet paper that's brand is called Thank You. There's a wave of gratefulness because people are becoming aware how important this is and how this can change our world. It can change our world in immensely important ways. Because if you're grateful, you're not fearful. And if you're not fearful, you're not violent. If you're grateful, you act out of a sense of enough and not of a sense of scarcity, and you're willing to share. If you're grateful, you are enjoying the differences between people, and you are respectful to everybody. And that changes this power pyramid under which we live. And it doesn't make for equality, but it makes for equal respect, and that is the important thing. The future of the world will be a network, not a pyramid, not a pyramid turned upside down. The revolution of which I'm speaking is a non-violent revolution, and it's so revolutionary that it even revolutionizes the very concept of a revolution. Because the normal revolution is one where the power pyramid is turned upside down, and those who were on the bottom are now on the top, and are doing exactly the same thing that the ones did before. What we need is a networking of smaller groups, smaller and smaller groups, who know one another, who interact with one another, and that is a grateful world. A grateful world is a world of joyful people. Grateful people are joyful people. And joyful people, the more and more joyful people there are, the more and more we'll have a joyful world. We have a network for grateful living, and it has mushroomed. We couldn't understand it, why it mushroomed. We have an opportunity for people to light a candle for when they are grateful for something. And there have been 15 million candles lit in one decade. People are becoming aware that a grateful world is a happy world. And we all have the opportunity, but it's simple, stop, look, go, to transform the world, to make it a happy place. And that is what I hope for us. And if this has contributed a little to making you want to do the same, stop, look, go. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Don, for playing that. All right, so it's more of what we talked about this morning. I thought, you know, when it came to me to play that, when it clearly came across to play that, I thought, maybe we've already said everything there was to say this morning. But I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. Who would like to share what they heard in, what's his last name, Stendhal Rath? Anyway, Dawn's like, I don't know, it wasn't my job. Who would like to share? Connie. Stendhal Rath. Thank you, Glenn.
I think the obvious thing that he said that this group might disagree with, and what Regina brought up, and Shauna probably too, but I remember hearing it specifically from Regina, is when she was talking about learning to love everything, or learning that she did love everything, I think is how she said it. That there weren't things that she didn't love, and this guy seemed to be making the distinction, of course we can't love, you know, infidelity. I guess to bring it up, the only thing we disagree with kind of sounds wacky, but that's what came to mind for me. Okay.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, Connie. Dadgummit. Well, let me go find another video that'll work. No, I'm teasing, of course. as we know, sometimes we hear things that, yeah, in these talks that we don't actually see eye to eye. And you know, that really caught my attention too, when I listened to it, He says, we cannot be grateful for violence, for war, for oppression, for exploitation. On the personal level, we cannot be grateful for the loss of a friend, for unfaithfulness, for bereavement. And I was like, yes, you can. One sec, check. But I really appreciate his honesty. You know, I appreciated what Regina said this morning when she said, you know, she really is, like you pointed out, Connie, she really is learning that she's grateful for everything, no matter, you know, how it looks, no matter whether we call it good or bad. But I did appreciate his honesty when he said we can be grateful in every given moment for the opportunity, even when we're confronted with something that's terribly difficult. So I'm going to shut up and let Jay talk. Jay.
On that very point, there was not an acknowledgement that there was a choice on how to see said bereavement and violence. It was accepted as fact. So there was not a difference between the I and the one perceiving. Like, my framework of looking at things is the same for everyone, which isn't true. That's a filtered mind judgment. You know, we have, when I was in India with Regina and we looked at this smelly slum, she saw beauty. She didn't see a smelly slum. I almost puked, but... You know, the point being, he didn't enter. There is no concept of that in his presentation. And I think that if we quote unquote disagree on something, it would be that he's not acknowledging if there's a perceiver, that fundamental point. There's no, you know, so it's like I can choose to see, yes, someone may come at me with a bat in my, I may duck out of the way, but I don't need to see and conclude mentally that's violence. I can still just be in love. Now, am I at that place? No, I'd probably freak out, try to run away if somebody came at me with a bat. But the point being that as I let go of the ego and the self, more and more of those kinds of things I'm not affected by. Like, you notice it with the little things, like irritations, and you start to purify. You don't see them that way anymore. Or people that you would have reacted to, or situations you witness at the grocery store, or a mother screaming at her kid, or, whatever. I mean, you got to ask intuition how to respond, but the fundamental point being there is a perceiver and there is a choice, and there's awareness and being behind that perceiver. And there, you know, all that mechanism was just kind of skipped over, so that the agreed upon collective conclusions about what's violent and what's oppressive, et cetera, which really aren't even constant. Like in Japan, infidelity is considered normal, not even frowned upon in some cultures. So, I mean, there's not even an accepted definition of many of these things. In the Roman culture, they fought as part of their lifestyle. That wasn't seen as violence at all. You know, it's his comments weren't really acknowledging that. Not that I'm dissing this guy, but I appreciate, speaking of gratitude, the teaching that's in the masters and through Regina, that there is a perceiver and there's a self that has a choice. So that these words that we talk about, violence, bereavement, etc., are ultimately mental constructs, and that what you're grateful for is, like he said, the present moment, not the mind concluded outcome of what you think is deserving of your gratitude or not. So that's my only comment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. I think this points to a very, very difficult question, because again, I have to say that I appreciate his authenticity, and I think that we have to live where we're at. And as somebody said a while ago, while Regina may be experiencing that right now, that is not always my experience right now. You know, if somebody smacks me, I'm going to get pissed off. I'm not going to be immediately grateful. I'm not going to go, that is as good as not being smacked. Although I may do what he said in the second half of that, which is be grateful for the opportunity to rise to the occasion and respond to that opportunity with love, to see, to transcend that, to forgive that. So I may be grateful for the opportunity, but I'm not going to be grateful for the smack itself, right? You know, I'm going to jump. I'm going to react to that in one way or another. Having said that, let me say, I have had the experience, and I've talked with you guys about it before, after my father passed, when he died, a couple years ago now, right after that, we went to an enlightenment intensive, and you know, and I'm sitting with the emotion of that, and you know, just trying, you know, what do I feel? How do I feel? Know how I'm supposed to feel, but how do I feel? What's going on here? And of course there was sadness, but as I really sat with it, I saw that what was underneath that was gratitude. That the overwhelming, the majority feeling, that's not a good word, but it's the only one that would come in my head, the real base feeling was gratitude. And I realized that if I'm with any experience or any emotion, truly with it, deeply with it, that what underlies each and every emotion is, and every experience is gratitude. And it's that gratitude, yay, experience, right? That's that gratitude. It's just, oh my God, I'm so grateful for having had the experience of having had Jack Poole in my life for 50 some odd years. So what looks here like sadness is gratitude, is oh my God, such gratitude, such overwhelming gratitude. And so from a real honest place, I can see that it's all gratitude, right? But I don't want to stop at the conceptual place of knowing it ought to be gratitude. Anne, go ahead.
So I really appreciate you, appreciate this discussion, and I appreciate you honing in on that, because something you said is so important for me to keep coming back to, which is when I had the distinct pleasure of sitting with you as you were discovering what was under that deep, what felt like dark, intractable, achy, I can't believe I'm going to sit with this and open to this. You can't possibly want me to open to this grief any more than I'm opening to it. I mean, there was not to sound too dramatic, but it was like there was anguish there before there wasn't. Like there was this, it was like consciousness was so tight, so compressed. And then if you just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it, it opened like a frickin' flower. I watched it. And gratitude's the word you're using now and you used then. But the first word that came that was underneath it all was joy. Was this bright light of releasing joy. And the mind had nothing to do with it. The mind had nothing to say about it because the mind wasn't there. Jacqueline wasn't interpreting Jacqueline's experience of Jacqueline's emotion about Jacqueline's dad. I watched in the process of opening and just staying with it and staying with it and staying with it. I had the privilege of watching this bound up bit of consciousness that had a big old story. And there were, and people have to know, there were people at this Enlightenment intensive who just happened to have known your dad, who were like, were surprised to hear in dyads that he had passed because he was so young and vibrant. And it was just like a very kind of dramatic kind of thing. And then our hosts, both of our hosts happened to know your father, had interacted with your father at, it's not Intrepid, it's a, at the Endeavor, in the Intrepidly Endeavored. Anyway. The point is though, and I think your point, and I think his point, which is for me the point, is how do you get there? How do you get there? How is this not like gratitude? Sure, grateful, grateful. And look, any bridge identity works. When you're feeling like crap and you got a story, if gratitude, gratitude, gratitude works right now and naming stuff in a room, I say, I'm all in. Because you do, you have to be right where you are to get to where you want to get to. And yet, he showed us how to get there, which is exactly what dyads have you do. I mean, it's literally, if you want to know how to do a dyad, you stop, you literally stop everything, and you, what's his second step? You look. I mean, he's literally looking. And this isn't any magic with dyads. This is the magic of inhabiting fully our own experience, whatever it is. It's to stop everything, which usually means thought. And then if the body's in motion and stuff, that's just going to bring on more thought. So stopping in every sense. But what? Then really looking. What's here? What's actually here? I can't get to gratitude. I can't get to joy if I'm not here first. Like the path to anything is like the trap door is our present experience, whatever that is. And that's what I loved about him was, and for me, what he's talking about is, yeah, he's not talking about the loving all method, but he's certainly talking about the emotionally allow it. Because you can't see the opportunity and rise to it as a lesson if you're not emotionally allowing it. Because if I'm not emotionally allowing it, I am listening to a story in my head. This shouldn't be, this shouldn't be. How can I get out of it? How can this be? I mean, you can hear that stay away from the real, stay away from the real, stay up in concept, stay up in story. So his prescription is to open to it, open to all of it. Can you learn from this? And we all know we either, you know, it's so simple. We either get the experience we want, great, or we get a lesson. The only time we lose is when we think there's a third option, which means a shitty story about it. And that third option is the only time we lose. And what he's encouraging, I think, us all to do is give up the story and come to the experience, the actual experience. And so I love it. I love that it's stop. And Michael Langford, how many times has he said, slow down, slow down? And I love the idea of thinking of that as a stop sign. If I don't see it as a stop sign, I don't stop. And then look, get quiet and look. And everything we need is inside. We're already having the experience. And then this go thing, the do something, basically, for me, his third step is opening to what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What would you have me know? And that's what you did every single time in those dyads, even with that grief that was making you almost feel ill at the time. It was just so, it was so heavy. It was so dense. It was like a black blanket. It was knocking out the light. Not that you weren't bucking up just fine, but that is how the experience was showing up. And what you did, open to that. You certainly emotionally allowed it. And you looked for what's it, what? I mean, you know, you did a lot of what the heck, what, but still what? And I think it's that authenticity of our own experience, however it is for us in that moment, that is our own opening. Like when he said, what did he say? Opportunity only knocks once. Well, yeah, until the next moment. And then if you listen, it's knocking again, right? So I think I think this is such a gentle prescription for giving yourself a big old break, allowing us to feel exactly what we're feeling, but knowing, like you said at the very end, and the point I wanted to come back to, if we're not experiencing joy and contentedness, and maybe loving everything sounds too, I mean, for me, it sounds a little daunting. It kind of reminds me when Regina took that vow for happiness. I just thought, you know, that I'm just going to BS my way. I'm not vowing to happiness. That's just going to be BS. I know me. I'm going to BS through that. I can take a vow to openness. And if I can take a vow to looking and being open to what's actually happening, truly opening, I think that is the loving all method, at least as well as this one can do it right now, honestly. And I think when we do that, it's like what he said. If you're grateful, and another way to say that is if you're truly open and curious, you're not fearful. If you're not fearful, you're not then inhabiting all those other energies and feeding that back in. You're at least to some kind of neutral. But you're also, I mean, the whole premise of this is this experience is enough. This is enough right here, right now. I'm not looking for anything else. I've turned off all the looking. I've turned off all the outward seeking. I'm now just here knowing it's enough and trying to decipher how to open to that and allow the miracle of life to reveal itself. And yours is the perfect example of how the miracle of life in every situation that we spend the time and the patience to open to is going to be a lighterness, if not joy, at least a real acceptance, a here-ness and now-ness, and that contentedness that comes along with it. So, and for me, that's the definition of gratitude, is that right here and now is enough, and I am claiming it and recognizing it, and that natural praise for it, even if it's not out loud, even if it's just internally, is an energy that just then arises. It just arises. And so I love that he says there's two things. It has to be valuable and it has to be a real gift. It has to be given. And every time we have an opening, that's just a given. And every time we have an opening, that's as valuable as anything we've ever gotten handed to us, like an item. And so I just love this reminder that it really is that simple, to get real still, to get real quiet, to look within with a lot of love, and to open to what's basically to what inner wisdom is wanting to show you right then, because it's always there. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you for sharing, Anne. We're going to get you a spot on that red carpet at TED. That was great. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, I agree with Anne. I mean, the biggest point, I think, from a practical perspective that he made was just that stop, that slow down. You know, how many of us, talking to myself, whether it's before I eat, do I really stop and take the time just to be grateful for how all of that food got on my plate before I start chowing down? You know, do I think about, remember, or acknowledge, you know, the people that planted the seed, those that harvested it, those that shipped it, washed it, sold it? I mean, there's hundreds of people, you know, involved in that process before it gets to me, gets to that plate. And, you know, it's cultivating that attitude of gratitude. And I think that it can start off as a game, and it can be, you know, definitely surface. And I think what it can move to something deeper sometimes, sometimes not, just depends, I think. And I think that's part of what Shauna talked about this morning. I think it was really so true that you know, it's really a position that you come from of gratitude, and that's what really brings happiness. You know, if you're happy, that doesn't make you grateful. It's your gratefulness that really gives you that inherent wellspring of happiness. And, you know, I think on several different levels, the, at least for me, one of the keys has been that it's knowing in a sense, and sometimes it starts out as an intellectual knowing. Sometimes it's an experiential knowing, but for me more so, it's been an intellectual knowing. But then from there, it's an ultimate trust. I mean, it is a absolute trust that everything is working toward our good. And as someone who's 63 years old and has gone through plenty of life, I look back and have looked back over what I considered at the time to be just devastating negative things that happened to me, that were the greatest thing. It's amazing that if those things had not happened, that my life would not be anywhere where it is today. I would not be on this path, would not be as rich for many different reasons. And it's obviously trust, once reinforced by the hindsight of experience, is something that is extremely helpful and kind of builds that solid foundation. Until you really have that happen, I don't know that there, I think it'd be difficult to have a deep ingrained sense of trust. That everything is working out for your good doesn't mean it's always going to be enjoyable. And I think that a great question that I wish you would have kind of addressed is, can you be grateful when you're experiencing something that's extremely sorrowful? And again, from the position that he was taken, he may not, we always know that people can have different facets on a particular thing. He was basically taking the position that certain things you can't be grateful for, whether that's his true, unequivocal position, it's hard to say. But it's so much, when we realize, our body just, scientifically, our body to some degree every 60 days, to a large degree every year, every single molecule cell in our body changes. It's a different cell. A lot of it comes in from free radicals that are actually invisibly exchanging from outside of us into us. It's all energy. We're energy. We're energy that's been slowed down to create a certain mass. Everything we pass through our bodies is something's being repurposed because all energy never gets destroyed. It's all being repurposed, and it's part of the grand thing. So I can have Jennifer Hadley. I mean, bless her heart. She's willing to tackle pee and poop and just say, I'm saying, hey, thank you for clearing out of my body. I know that's what was helpful. And great travels and wherever you're being repositioned, you're part of the greater thing. So that may sound stupid and crazy and ridiculous, but on a deeper level, that's really all true. That's really, really all true. And I think for me, the other thing that really helps with gratefulness is, for me, there's a humbleness that comes to it, because there's a certain special space for humbleness, being humble, because I sure didn't have much to do with why I'm here and what I'm doing and what's going on right now. I mean, once upon a time, I used to think I was a director of that show. But not anymore. And, if I can humbly accept that what is unfolding is always for my highest good, always, then it allows me to be in that deeper space, that internal space of gratitude for what shows up. So, while... he danced around the edges of some of the things that we believe in, maybe a few things that are slightly different. I just think it's always, we can't ever look at this too infrequently. And I'm glad you picked this as kind of a double header with Shauna this morning. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, Ron. Great comments. Yeah, just perfect. Even the ones about pee and poop. We can be grateful for it all. I got to tell you that I think of my friend, as we're speaking about this, I think of my friend Martha Creek, who spent a lot of time with Byron Katie. And Martha always says, and if I get it wrong, Connie will tell me because Connie's heard her say it a number of times, but Martha always says, love what is. Most of the time, I don't even like what is. Connie, do you know the rejoinder to that? The point, do you know her point? Where she goes with that afterwards?
Well, actually, I think it's that we have to accept what is. We have to allow it because that is the reality. What is, and there's no sense in fighting it because that's where the suffering is.
Yeah. So it seems like to some greater or lesser degree, we are all working our way through that spectrum from allowance to gratitude, and we may find ourselves perpetually in one place on that spectrum. But I'd venture to guess that what's really going on is as we encounter the vicissitudes of life, we encounter each of those experiences differently, and we experience different things on the spectrum from allowance to love. You know, we find ourselves at different places on that spectrum. Most of us. Although, as Regina pointed out this morning, she is really having that experience, and God bless her, and you know, more power to her. I'm thrilled for her. Really having that experience. Is she really is loving everything that she encounters, you know, effortlessly. And so that certainly is it's aspirational for me. And again, situationally, as I allow each thing, I really do find that underneath and behind everything, it's just that simple gratitude for being. It really is simple gratitude. So if I can be with it, that's what I will find there. And I would venture to say that that's true for all of us. If we can, as Anne was saying, if we can just open to what is behind it, we find gratitude. We find the joy of life. Thanks for joining us, Ron. let's see, what time is it? I had an idea that we might play another video, but Dawn was going to play it, and I think she's still gone. She ran off to get some tea and didn't come back. There she is. Hey, Dawn. Glad you came back. We missed you. So it's a 10-minute video, and it just emphasizes some of what we've been talking about. So thank you, Dawn. Thanks, everybody.
When I graduated UCLA, I moved to Northern California. And I lived in a little town called Elk on the Mendocino coast. And I didn't have a phone or TV, but I had U.S. mail. And life was good back then, if you could remember it. I'd go to the general store for a cup of coffee and a brownie, and I'd ship my film to San Francisco, and lo and behold, 2 days later, it would end up on my front door, which was way better than having to fight the traffic of Hollywood. I didn't have much money, but I had time and a sense of wonder. So I started shooting time-lapse photography. It would take me a month to shoot a 4-minute roll of film because that's all I could afford. I've been shooting time-lapse flowers continuously, nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for over 30 years. And to see them move is a dance I'll never get tired of. Their beauty immerses us with color, taste, touch. It also provides a third of the food we eat. Beauty and seduction is nature's tools for survival because we protect what we fall in love with. It opens our hearts and makes us realize we are a part of nature and we're not separate from it. When we see ourselves in nature, it also connects us to every one of us because it's clear that it's all connected in one. When people see my images, a lot of times they'll say, "Oh my God." Have you ever wondered what that meant? The O means it caught your attention. It makes you present, makes you mindful. The my means it connects with something deep inside your soul. It creates a gateway for your inner voice to rise up and be heard. And God? God is that personal journey we all want to be on, to be inspired, to feel like we're connected to a universe that celebrates life. Did you know that 80% of the information we receive comes through our eyes? And if you compare light energy to musical scales, it would only be one octave that the naked eye could see, which is right in the middle. And aren't we grateful for our brains that can, you know, take this electrical impulse that comes from light energy to create images in order for us to explore our world? And aren't we grateful that we have hearts that can feel these vibrations in order for us to allow ourselves to feel the pleasure and the beauty of nature? Nature's beauty is a gift that cultivates appreciation and gratitude. So I have a gift I want to share with you today, a project I'm working on called Happiness Revealed. And it'll give us a glimpse into that perspective from the point of view of a child and an elderly man of that world.
When I watch TV, it's just some shows that you just, that are pretend. And when you explore, you get more imagination than you already had. And when you get more imagination, it makes you want to go deeper in so you can get more and see beautifuler things. Like it could, the path, if it's a path, it could leave you, it could lead you to a beach or something, and it could be beautiful.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. So really, note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather, and even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, is unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
Thank you.
Hey, sweet. Amen. I'm in the dark. I love you guys. I am grateful for you. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share with you and to receive your sharing. So thank you. Thank you for joining me. Love you, and I'll see you next time. Bye. Bye, Glenn.